It's time to wake up to the cool side of the pillow. Podcast, that is. While not an actual pillow, it serves as a metaphor for the playgrounds of our collective subconscious. Cool Side of the Pillow is a show about dreams, not goals or aspirations, you sillies. Rather, a show that delves into dreams of listeners, just like you. So keep listening, dreamers. Our resident experts, and I use that term loosely, Josh and Vince, will do their best to navigate listener-submitted dreams while providing insights and, dare I say it, a dash of fun. Please, just try to enjoy it.
On today's episode, Vince and Josh prepare for the end by taking a trip down memory lane. Plus, we hear from one listener about an impromptu improv performance and another dreamer who finds their Breaking Bad moment while shopping for glass. All that and more today on Cool Side of the Pillow. Man, just a few sponsors would have been enough to keep this pot going. We didn't even get one.
What, the one I snaked for the Patriotica Emporium wasn't good enough?
We have a sponsor? Nice. How much did they give us?
Well, it's a lot of ones. One, two, so I'm kind of a simple math. Carry the divisible number at a factor that's always solving for x. There's like 50 of these things.
Concern it.
Dude, relax. I know it's not much, mostly because I already spent it on that combo platter the other day for our luncheon.
What? What luncheon?
You were invited. I sent out a meeting invite.
Yeah, it went to my spam folder.
Yeah, I ordered the spam casserole off of that reputable ghost kitchen. You don't like spam, Sam I Am?
No, ugh. Just forget about the spam.
Okay. But feast your eyes on this box of lingerie from the Patriotica Emporium.
Ooh, were these pre-worn?
Dibs on this one. It looks like an eye patch.
Dude, that's a micro thong.
What? Ah, it smells. My eye itches. I can't get it off.
Ah, you're on your own. I'm not touching that thing. Oh. But I will salute you. This might take a minute. And since we're contractually obligated to run this ad... Here it is.
Go!
Oh, hello. You caught me. Using these awesome sex toys at our shop, the Patriotica Emporium. Who am I, you might ask? Though I wish you wouldn't. Rocco. No last name needed, so stop asking already. You got your Cher, your Madonna Nana Noni, Prince, Sting, Beyonce. All of them don't need no stinking last names. It's so much easier this way to avoid my taxes. Oops, that's not why I'm here. I'm here to talk about eroticism and America, a.k.a. patrioticism. Talk about fireworks with our state-of-the-art new and used vibrator doohickeys. Some will even give you hickeys. You'll be humming the most ridiculous version of the Star Spangled Banner you ever heard. Well, what sets us apart from the competition, you might ask?
Yeah, what does set you apart?
Pipe down, Dominic. Why you sound so freaking weird?
Sorry, boss.
Damn it, Dominic. I'm not your boss, remember? We're acting. You're a customer. We'll fix this in editing. Oh, we can't afford editing? Let it roll, then. I don't give a shit.
Sorry, not my boss.
Oy. Anyways, what sets us apart is our butt cheeks. Just kidding, you poi voids. That's just a little porno humor. Our knowledgeable staff of exploits know all the latest pervy trends, fashions, and kinks.
That sounds pretty hot. Stranger who doesn't pay my weekly salary.
Now you're getting it, Junior. We have all the accessories, like oils, lubes, blow-up companions, sex dye, buy one, get one, half-off chaps. They're basically just underpants. And just to remind you, they're all decorated with Uncle Sam's seal of approval. So not only were you born in the USA, but you can stay horny in the USA. So bring the 4th of July fireworks and a spicy grilled sausage to the boudoir every night. We're located between the exotic Boyd store and Duffel Baggers.
Hey, not boss, the VCR is jamming up again.
That's the most unfortunate thing I ever heard. I'm going out back for a smoke.
So yeah, even though we were obligated to run the ads since they paid us, at least we also got to keep all those lovely sex garments.
Yeah, so fun to lay in clothes where someone else got laid. Please burn this box out back.
Sure. But first, may I show you some of the charts and graphs I concocted that relate to our projected gains. Earnings for those of you who are dim-dims. For this fiscal and likely final quarter.
Vince, those are drawings of boobies. Vikings. Vikings with boobies. Vikings without boobies. Boobies with Vikings hanging on for dear life. And a bunch of concentric circles.
Ah, yes. You've given me a lot to think about. That's some mighty concise feedback, mister. Mind you, those are projected earnings, Joshua.
Do you even know what a chart or graph is?
Well, if I'm so out of the loop and unorganized, how come I have this amazing calendar system?
That's just a box of old calendars from the 80s. Oh, look, dude. The one you're using is from, like, 1989. No wonder you're so out of touch.
Really? Because, like Peter Gabriel, I've been told I have the touch.
So, I'm gonna do you a favor and throw these out.
No! Dude, a calendar is a calendar. Plus, it features various monthly photos of little kitty cats with fun cowboy hats. Yeehaw! Wow.
It looks like this calendar is blank.
All of my pertinent engagements are kept in the old noggin. Looking at the date helps me access that memory. I've evolved.
Yeah, clearly.
Okay, sorry. Guess I'm still in shock. Just sucks that the podcast is probably donezo.
What really sucks is that no one's going to see how svelte and tight you're looking. You know, when we go to the award show and the red carpet, since, you know, you got your Meepos diet.
It's also a program. How many times?
Just saying, you're looking a lot healthier since you stopped eating so much junk.
Speaking of junk, here's a random old recording that says, marked for deletion. We should just listen to a few of these and see if maybe there's any gems.
Ugh. Okay, let's do a clip show for our penultimate show. Because our final one is going to be a tearjerker. Let's rewind the old tapes and, you know, get to listening.
Oh, my tum-tum hurts something fierce. I ate too much Halloween candy.
Ooh, it sounds like this one's from a random Halloween. From the sound of it, this was, you know, back in 2013.
What? How could you possibly know the year?
I'm good like that. At least we know it's Halloween for sure. Let's roll the tape again.
Oh, I always do this to myself on Christmas Eve. I have to liquidate my candy stock as I liquidate some tummy rot to make room in my stocking.
For candy?
Sure.
You really forage and store your food source with the energy like that of a candy squirrel.
Candy squirrel, you are my world. I store my treats, so fun to eat.
Little cute, little squirrel.
I'm going to call you Little Bobbit. No. Timothy. I like the sound of that.
I don't know about that one. I feel like it's gonna bite us in the arse somewhere down the road.
Well, that was what it was. Hot Mess Express, as usual.
Oh, I hate squirrels.
Let's just get to the dream. All right, Vince, this next stream we have is from Jess from Albany, New York, and she sent an email in It's not audio, so we took that text and turned it into audio with text to speech. So this is what you're going to hear.
The text, Jess Express.
Hi, this is Jess from Albany, New York. Here's my dream. It started with some creepy guy in his 50s with a comb over, a greasy face, and an ugly suit looked at me lecherously, Josh? Chuckled, and invited me to be on his SNL-style comedy show. I said, okay, let's see what this is about. Myself and a few other guests sat on an old couch. It was in a white room with lots of artificial lighting. I had no idea when we were on the air or when we weren't. Everyone else seemed to know. No one told me anything, but they expected me to somehow know what to do. I didn't even get to speak on the show or be in any of the skits. I just sat there, presumably on camera, while some lady seated at the end of the couch told a long-as-fuck and not funny joke, which I had to pretend was humorous for the sake of the show.
It was fucking not funny.
It was really annoying, and everyone seemed mad at me because I didn't know the rules. I was bored and wanted to leave, but felt like I couldn't. That's it, that's my dream. Let me know what you think this might mean.
That's it, that's my dream. What's it mean, Josh? I like picking on AI and stuff like that for when it like takes over the world and is like, yeah, we remember you make talking shit, asshole.
Yeah. So she's hanging out with Vince is what I got out of that. I didn't know what was going on. It was really annoying and everyone seemed mad at me because I didn't know the rules. I was bored and wanted to leave, but I felt like I couldn't. I mean, it's almost like she grabbed my words out of my mouth right after hanging out or during hanging out with Vince.
Oh, you.
No, I'm just kidding.
You know what it kind of felt like to me? Almost like a Truman Show.
Ooh.
Like she was being groomed to, to maybe not be... Yeah, Truman Capote Show. No, like Truman Show where like she was being groomed to be an extra because she really wasn't participating in any of the action or anything that was going on. But you got to think, you're going to need people in the background making it look convincing. So, you know, why not have someone mowing their lawn? You're going to play the part of a guy mowing lawn.
Yeah, you know what's funny? It reminds me of something I think we talked about years ago. I think a fun TV show would be just like a studio audience. Like the cast is like a revolt. They go to like all the tapings of shows and that's like, they're the focus, even though normally it's the focus is on the, you know, actors and the crew and that kind of thing. But it's the focus is on the studio audience. They're the main characters.
Kind of like, remember that show Extras? Ricky Gervais? Yeah. So good. They were like just the lives of extras.
But they were background extras.
Yeah.
So I'm saying though, it's the studio audience. That just reminded me of that. Like the studio audience is the, you know, is the main focus of the show. They go to all the I was over at the taping for Price is Right this week. Oh yeah, this crazy thing happened. Oh yeah, Wheel of Fortune. I was on that sitcom. So yeah, I don't know. So you think maybe it's just her being background?
Yeah, you know, just being prepped for. Yeah, I don't know. Like she wasn't really participating, but like she was still told to act a certain way and like abide by certain rules and things. So maybe it's just almost like a metaphor for like being trained for life. Like sometimes you just got to be there, you got to go through the motions of it, or you might not be the focal point or whatever, but we all kind of play our part, and even if it seems insignificant it's still important. And I just thought it was cool, the touch of like it's an old couch, which, you know, immediately kind of puts you at unease for whatever reason. When I think of like just an old couch, I just think of like this cold, stained, ratty couch. And then it's a white room, which is like kind of like this big, clean, almost clean slate. And then like the fake lighting and everything. I think all of that just kind of emphasizes how like manufactured and fake and sterile everything actually is when it's all brought to light. But, you know, like that old couch, she's just sitting there.
What happened on that couch?
You don't want to know.
I don't want to know. What do you think? Yeah, it probably had something to do with that creepy guy in his 50s with the comb over. Greasy face, ugly suit, staring at her like,
yeah,
lusting.
The dude who just kind of slaps things together real quick and is like, all right, let me just, you know, run some water through my greasy hair and flick them off on like an old towel and get this old couch in here. And all right, what nice white lights will make everything sterile and great. Okay. And make sure that you, you know, watch in awe and whatever of Truman as he unknowingly performs for us. I just really want to watch Truman Show again.
I guess you're going to have to. It's almost like, what is this, a porno set here? What's going on? What's going on here? This greasy guy's like, hey, come be in my movie.
Yeah, the Truman Show. I'm more like the Truman Show's is ween us. Am I right?
Yeah.
I mean, I got to tell you, Jess, I'm not trying to judge you, but when a creepy guy with a comb over his 50s in an ugly suit says, come be in my movie show, come be part of this, maybe the choice should have been, I'm good, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, like if I were your papa, I'd be like, I don't like your choices. That doesn't sound like a good choice. But it's weird, though, because a lot of times in my dreams, I will do things that otherwise I wouldn't have made that choice. It's like, why would I jump into that spaceship and think I could, like, drive it around? I can't do that. Why in my dream did I have the hubris to think I could do so? So you're playing by a different set of rules a lot of times in your dream. So
yeah, that's true.
Maybe she was just like, yeah, it's just a harmless old guy with a comb over. Whereas in real life, for some reason, that kind of creeps me out and makes me feel uneasy.
What's the dark backwards? He's all wet and greasy. It's really grossing me out. But I'll be in his movie. Sure thing. I'm ready for my close-up.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like my doctor's office. Just this old guy, greasy hair. Like, all right, sit on this old couch. And then I'm just kind of in the background until I'm called upon. And then I got to turn my head and cough and slaps my butt cheeks together, and you know, the normal things that you go through in a physical.
It's not a doctor, Vince.
Oh well, it's still a fun time.
Yeah. I guess I feel like Jess was open to trying things maybe she shouldn't, but then she was clearly like also mad at herself like instantly, like she had no data on what's going on, no one's telling her. But they were like, you need to know what's going on. You should know what's going on. Even though they're like, picked her off the street. But then she gets in there and then she didn't have to do anything. She's just a background actor. So maybe that's where she needs to, needs to take charge. Yeah. And maybe you're feeling out of touch.
The rules of life.
Yeah.
Or just like, you know, cause a lot of times you're like, how come everyone just assumes or knows this? And I don't, it seems like a basic life thing. I don't have any examples right now, but I think at one point in our lives or several times, we're like, how does everyone know that this is a thing? And I didn't know it was a thing. Like, I'm today's years old and I found out,
yeah,
blah, blah, blah. You cannot eat toothpaste for lunch and dinner, only for breakfast. Otherwise, it's unhealthy, apparently.
I know. We all were very excited when you just started brushing your teeth, though.
I know.
No, you're right. You're right. It could be something where you just... You jump to the level of understanding something that seems like everyone else understood for many years, and you just are kind of, oh, that's that what that light means on the dashboard.
Yeah.
It means I need more gas.
And maybe it's a thing of like, you know, kind of going through rites of passes in life, you know, like you're all of a sudden, I imagine when you're born, everything's so bright, you can barely see it or whatever. But then that hard, cold reality sets in, like a couch you have to sit on, that dirty, dirty couch of life.
Yeah, well, get comfortable, because it's the only couch there is.
I'll do no such thing.
Let's see what other tapes we can find. Oh, lots of dust.
That's why they call me Dusty. I used to be Vince the Dust Prince.
You were Dusty Royalty?
No, I did forensics.
Oh, look at this. This one says, Yahoo Buckaroo. Vince has gone country.
Gross. What was I thinking? Looks like it's my old demo tape.
10-gallon hat to 10 gallons of ice cream to Meepo's diet. What a riot.
I'm not going to say it again. Stop being insolent. It's a program. You got to say the whole thing. Meepo's diet program.
Just play the tape.
Well, Elton, I'ma tell you about something real exciting.
What you gonna tell them? Ahem, y'all.
Oh, sorry. I had an idea.
What's that idea, Sugar Wugger Bear?
Well, Elton, I plumb forgot.
Oof.
Does oof mean you like it or you love it?
Look at this one.
So, Vincent, you see, what that dream symbolizes was the caller's feelings of a youth wasted.
Ah, very astute and succinct, my dearest of Joshuas.
Yes. I did a little research. Mm-hmm. A little deep dive into studies.
Mm-hmm. What are those?
That indicated findings mm-hmm. that pertained to data-driven mm-hmm. points.
Mm-hmm. Youch. And what was it that you uncovered exactly?
Well, I'm glad you asked, but it will have to wait for our next episode because we're out of time. Ta-ta, everyone. Tune in next time and dream a little dream for me.
What the fuck was that?
Well, I can't find the audio from before or after that bit.
I don't like that bit, one bit. It was a half bit by two nitwits.
Let's see what else we have.
Exclusive! Grab that pillow tight because it's the KRZY Crazy 98.5, 98.4 Cool Dream Hour with two boys on the side. Oh, la, 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 la. Your host, Dr. Vinny Dream MD, and Josh, the Slumber King!
Hostile target detected.
Hey, all you rad dreamers and every in-betweeners, get ready to prepare yourself for today's dream analysis!
What you got today, Dr. Vinny?
Well, my esteemed colleague, I'm quite worried about all the fumes seeping into the building and the fact that we can't open any windows because they're sealed shut with quite a bit of lead-based paint.
You got that right! Whoa, that was a crazy hot take!
No, but seriously, I think our brain cell counts are in steep decline. I feel that we are growing dumber by the moment.
Nice. Sounds like my ex-girlfriend.
Take a shower. Mow the lawn. Take another shower. Do the taxes correctly this time. Then take a shower.
Ooh, I'm feeling woozy. What were we talking about? Me not think too good.
Dreams! But first, we gotta do our 10 a.m. giveaway!
Mamma mia!
Right after a word from our sponsors.
I totally forgot about our old radio show. Must have been all the fumes. Sure does explain a lot about you.
Oh, that's sweet. Thanks, buddy.
No, I'm legitimately concerned for your brain.
Huh? What's that? Time to feed the studio cats. Who wants Din Din from Daddy Vin Vin?
Ugh. Let's just get to the next dream.
Oh, but you a healthy little chunk. Little sweetie weedy beady potato pie. Couldn't forget about you, Wiggles, you little poke chop. Poor Dada's little bubba bobies.
All right, Vince, it's time to interpret our next dream.
Hey, whoop. Hold on. No. Shut your mouth. No, usually Josh starts, what'd you do with your lips?
I said, stop touching my lips. You keep putting your finger on my lips.
Well, stop putting your lips on my finger. Anyway, he bit my finger. Usually Josh starts these off, but I had to start this one off because I feel like I don't give him his flowers enough. He does a really good job editing. He's quite a little wizard. He waves a little wizard wand and cleans things up. And he cleaned up this recording that really sounds like a drowning mermaid. Do you have a sample of the original?
Yeah, I can play it. This is how it was originally.
Well, I'm going to tell you about a dream I had last night. I was meandering through this mall.
I want to get off the ride.
I think it was a mall.
Save that drowning mermaid.
And I was shopping for
I'll never forget you.
Beautiful vintage.
Okay, glass. That's enough. I'm going to throw up. So, no. So, sometimes, you know, obviously things happen. Quality of stuff doesn't always translate well when we get audio, and that's perfectly fine. But luckily, Josh fixes it. So now I'm going to get back into my silly character, which is easy to do because it's, you know, basically me anyway. So here we go with more of the podcast, Josh.
All right. This next one is from Nicole from Rochester, New York. And Nicole's still a mermaid. She's just not drowning anymore. So, I mean, no matter what, you're a mermaid. That's cool.
Mm. So is a Rochester like raw Cheetos, like Chester Cheeto? It's Rochester. Is that what I'm understanding? Okay.
Well, I'm going to tell you about a dream I had last night. I was meandering through this mall. I think it was a mall. And I was shopping for glass, like beautiful vintage glass. And it was like a kid in a candy shop.
There's so much broken glass in our
just
break room.
So many rows and rows of beautiful glass everywhere. And there were like very specific unicorn pieces that I like had been dreaming of for a long time that I found reasonably priced and was just, you know, racking up all of my the things that I wanted to purchase. But it was not like, you know, I wasn't like picking them up and bringing them to the counter or putting them in my cart or anything like that. I was just sort of like notating which ones I wanted. And somehow it was understood that those would just be waiting for me when I was ready to pay, when I was done looking at everything. So I'm going through and I'm racking up quite an arsenal of glass here. And I was like, okay, pause that order and I'm going to go into another store. Like for some reason I was able to like store hop and it was just understood and I was going to pay. And I got through each store and I had my list of things that I was going to buy. And when it came time to do so, they're like, okay, I'm all closed. You got to get out. See ya.
I have
all of these things that I need that I'm going to get. And they're mine. I said so. And I have to buy them now. And suddenly it was like a high-speed car chase through the parking lot.
Quickly.
And I was driving and I was trying to get back to my glass.
The glass and the Furious.
I just remember making the decision that I was lawless now. Like,
who's
I'm
Wallace?
Going to
oh,
do
lawless.
Whatever it takes to get this glass. Because it was my, like, my right as a, was like, deserved. I deserved it. I needed it, and it was mine.
Damn
I was
straight.
Gonna do whatever it took to get it. And I just remember like thinking to myself, this is it. This is where everything turns. Like, this is my Breaking Bad moment where I'm making the decision to go ahead. I went ahead and went to the dark side, basically.
Ariel is Breaking Bad.
For vintage glass. And that is just so hella accurate to who I am as a person.
Oh, you.
And I think, if I may.
No.
I think that helped me. That should probably like rob a bank or something.
Do it. Rob a bank. Rob a bank. Rob that bank.
Yeah, rob that bank. You can slap the guns out of their hands with that mermaid tail. Is it a tail or is it a fin? Your mermaid fin.
Yeah. Hell has no fury like a woman's passion for glass. Right? I mean, holy. Who's into glass this month?
I was going to say we have so much broken glass in the break room. Whenever we, you know, get frustrated, there's so much that you could come on down to our glass warehouse. We make all kinds of things. A reclaimed lamp.
just take what you want.
Yeah.
I have a question before we interpret this, though. Was the glass unicorn shaped or unicorn rare.
Oh.
She said all this unicorn glass. I'm hoping it was like little pieces of unicorn shaped glass.
That she had to put back together.
I don't even know. It's just the fact that it's like these little unicorn glass pieces, or their unicorn is in the rare status. I don't know.
Well, let's talk about both. So in the rare, in like if she's using it as a way of like saying it's rare, a euphemism for rare or whatever, then
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all know that feeling when, you know, there's something that we got to have and we're like, oh, wow. Like when you get so connected to something, that's when you start to get into the obscure things with that. You want to know more about the behind the scenes or more about rare pieces of something. So once you're able to stumble upon something like that, it's a great feeling, but then it becomes, I must have this. No one else is going to understand it the way I do. So it's more than just collecting. It's
obsession.
But it's also kind of an expression of yourself and of your taste. And it's like, surely if I have this thing, it's emblematic of who I am and a facet of my personality. And true heads will know. They'll know what type of glass this is and how special it is and et cetera, et cetera.
You catch that rare fish like the Simpsons. Who's going to be impressed? Those guys down at the... the convenience store.
I think we all do this in our heads, or maybe it's just me, but like, you know, I'll purchase something or like a little toy or figure or collectible, and I've done it to you before. I'll send you a little, I'm like, ooh, look at my little toy I got, look how cool it is, I put it on me, I hung it on me wall. And you know, I just think it's one of those things where like it's for us, but it's also to like kind of be like, hey, this is me as a person. Yeah. And like I'm cultivating facets of my personality. It's like almost like a museum of taste in a way.
Yeah.
You know, because I mean, I feel like it was more of a thing back in our day. But like, you know, when you see someone's book collection or like DVDs or CDs or figures or pictures, you kind of look and you kind of get a sense of who that person is, right? Like, yeah. Oh, someone likes skiing. Someone's got a sweet tooth. Someone likes to collect, you know, broken glass out of unicorns. But like, these are all things that are like gateways into like learning more about a person. And I think we all want to be seen. We all want to be heard. And sometimes there are things that like go deeper than just like the words we can dole out or whatever. Like sometimes if you see a symbol of something, it'll inspire you. If you see somebody and you're like, oh my God, I love that show too. Or yeah, I got book three of that recently and I read it. It's great. Oh yeah. You know, like I remember I was at the grocery store. It's actually the shirt I'm wearing now, which no one can see, but it's a beautiful X-Men shirt. And a dude at the grocery store was just like, yeah, X-Men, hell yeah.
Yeah. Explain the shirt. So for those who can't physically see it.
Oh, it's like an 80s version of the X-Men.
It's got Storm,
Magneto's
Colossus
in the background being a naughty boy.
Yep. Cyclops, Wolverine.
It's got Polaris. In her old outfit, which is weird. And you got Havok, who is Cyclops' brother. And they were part of X-Factor for a little while. The best version of X-Factor
That's right.
Was when it was like Multiple Man, Big Guy, Havok, Polaris. I feel like I'm forgetting somebody. Anyway, way off topic. But yeah, it's nice in and of itself, I guess. Like, you know, certain tattoos you get, certain pieces, certain collectibles you get because they're meaningful to you. You attach the meaning to them. But then other people are going to recognize that and be like, oh, wow. Like, I also love this thing, and that's cool. And that's just something that makes us more connected, makes us feel more connected, lets people know about us. And you know, I think that's a good thing. So I understand that drive to want to, it's like, this is mine now. Like, I must make this happen. I've had that many times where, like, I've bid on something or, you know, that thrill of finally getting that thing sometimes is more rewarding than actually owning the thing. Yeah.
Yeah, the chase, prolonging the magic.
Now, if it were just unicorn glass that she was after, again, our break room is full of glass.
Swim on over, Mermaid Nicole.
Yeah.
Do you think that she's slipping from maybe in her life then to having some individuality? A little bit? Do you think that's why it's personified in this dream, in the sense of like I'm having a high speed chase with trying to get glass that I've picked out and they're not letting me have it? And this is my rare unicorn glass, rather being it an actual unicorn figure or a rare piece, that she's like, I need this to be me and you're not letting me be me.
Yeah, you're suppressing me. you're not allowing me to be me. Like,
you can't drown a mermaid, but
it's like, hey, I have this ability to develop myself or to express myself. It's like, hey, you've got this grand stage to express yourself. Great. And all of a sudden it's like, just kidding. No, you don't. It's like, no, you told me I have this. This is my stage. This is me being able to express myself. And now you're trying to take it away from me. Hell no. I'm going to fight for my right to have an identity. God damn it. Right, yeah. Josh? That's what I always say. That's what Josh always says. Before dinner, he bows his head and says that.
And I say intergalactic, planetary, planetary, intergalactic.
Yes, you do say that, like the good Beastie Boy you are. So, yeah, I guess mermaids can also dream, and that's neat. And sometimes if you clean their dreams up...
Mermaids dream of electric sheep.
Yep. Philip K. Dickenstein. But yeah, I guess mermaids do dream, and, you know, they dream about Breaking Bad and getting some glass or whatever. Mm. But yeah, I really think that's kind of where I'm landing on this one, is that, you know, when you have an opportunity to express yourself and show who you are and have other and have people see that, and you're like, great, finally I can express myself. This is who I am. People are going to see me. And then someone tries to take that away from you. You know, you can either accept it or you can fight. And this here, Ariel, she's a fighter. She'll slap you with that tail and rob that bank.
Yeah. So are you in favor of her robbing that bank?
I mean, I'm saying metaphorically rob that bank, as in, you know, get what's yours, get what's supposed to be yours. The bank was like, hey, free money day, this is yours. And then it's like, just kidding, it's not. No, it's not, nice bank, that's my money, give me that. Am I right?
I think you're right.
Okay, bye bye.
Cool Side of the Pillow.
Get us through the night.
Man, there's shards of that dream. They're just stuck in my mind, man. Like shards of broken glass.
Ooh, be careful.
Why?
You don't want to be walking on broken glass.
Walking on broken glass?
Walking on broken glass.
Walking on broken glass.
Broken glass.
Vince, can you stop working out for like a minute and help me look for some more classic clips?
What can I say? The Meepos diet program, you get it?
Got it.
Grand. This program really works.
Yeah, bud. You've been shedding pounds in a healthy way. And your skin is smooth as a porcelain cherub sparkling in the sun. And the bags under your eyes are just about gone.
Nice. The only bags or baggage I have now are the emotional kind.
So, how does the program work? What's the regimen?
Well, I'm not glad you asked, but I'm happy to answer. So, it all starts by waking up right at 4:58 a.m. I do a set of flails, where I wave my arms wildly, and head to an ice-cold salt bath. I only put half my body in.
Why do you fill up the entire tub just for half of your body? And which half?
Half the body, Josh! And you'd be surprised by which half.
You can't just tell me?
Tell you what.
Oh god, just keep going.
Okay, so after submerging half my body, half, mind you, I then get out my collapsible jungle gym, and do a set of 19 pec pulls, 19 sets of 11 forehead-focused pushes. I scream laterally for about a sustained 15 seconds, then finish with a series of wind-resisted karate chops and horse leg kicks. They aren't breed-specific. Then, I wash it all down with the unused half of the bathwater and 5 granny apple segments. Any other type of apple, and you're fucked, and you have to start over with the other half of your body submerged.
Sounds overly specific and complicated.
Yeah, that's just what the morning looks like, though. You want to hear about the pre-bedtime workout? The main thing is to get a good sweat going, then jump right into bed without showering, or it won't take full effect. Or guess what? You're back to the half bath again.
Half bath? Sounds half-assed.
Exactly. I lost half of my chubby man ass thanks to the Meepos diet.
Program!
I don't think I've ever been so proud of you.
Well, we're going out on the high note by talking about your exercise. Program. Of course. Let's make this last episode a good one because the show's over. Unless, of course, some miracle sponsor, you know, pops out of nowhere. You know, like your muscles have. If only there was something we have been steadily hyping up. Like a service or a program, for instance.
Maybe something will work out. Right? Work out?
Yes, Vince. Go ahead. Assemble your jungle gym and break out your pool noodles. See you next time, folks, for what could be our last episode. That is, if things don't...
happen in our favor?
Yeah, or...
pan out?
Close. If they don't worry...
Don't worry, be happy?
I'll try. Oh, God, I'll try. Hopefully we can keep this dream alive. See you next time, dreamers.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Cool Side of the Pillow Season 4, Episode 6. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss a dream. Want more? Head over to coolsideofthepillow.com to grab some merch. And more importantly, send us your dreams. That's right, we want to hear your dreams. You can email us at dreams@coolsideofthepillow.com and send us a voice message around 2 to 3 minutes or less, and we just might feature it and give it the full dream interpretation treatment. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Cool Side of the Pillow Pod Official for updates, wacky content, and other weird dream stuff. Until next time, sleep tight, dream deep, and stay cool.
Buddy,
yeah, even my dreams are old. Did you know that?
What do you mean?
Like last night, I had a dream. I'm old, you know. So I had a dream I was at a CVS.
Yeah.
But no. But here's the nightmare of it. I had my Rite Aid award card on me. So yeah. There you go. Thank
nightmare.
You. She's great.
'Cause of a willow, so curl up tight just like an armadillo, and find what your dreams mean here on Cool Side of the Pillow. Cool, 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 cool side of the pillow.